Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
At this point, it's going to be that the 61st Annual National Day of Prayer is going to be the largest.
A lot of our groups hold rallies and protests outside the state capitol because, as we know, there are a lot of leaders and politicians who don't really support the National Day of Reason and are more likely to support prayer.
We call it America's Night of Hope. It's 2.5 hours of music and inspiration and just going to try to lift people's spirits and let them know that there are good days up ahead.
Happy days are here again.
The future belongs to those churches who dare to confess their doctrine.
Washington jet drivers, love, issues, etc.
We always like to start our, if we can, and we usually can, start Friday broadcast with criticism from one of our listeners. We love to do that. It's a great way to begin the show. Gets the blood moving, gets the mind working, and it gets the show started. We're going to start out with some criticism from one of our listeners via email. We don't have any comments today. The comments just evaporated for some reason. Maybe we were going to the well too often for the comments. But we have no comments. Email for the better part of the first hour, and then we're going to do Issues Etc. blog of the week. Welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio here in Collinsville, Illinois. After Blog of the Week, in Hour 2, Sarah Pulliam Bailey joins us. We'll talk about some media coverage of evangelical voters, Hispanic voters. We'll talk about the New York Times dropping its philanthropy desk that is covering nonprofits, and Google employees getting de-stressing training from a Buddhist. And then, well, that doesn't surprise me at all. And then Dr. Cameron McKenzie will join us. We'll talk about 16th century Reformation ruler Frederick the Wise. He was a patron and protector of the reformer Martin Luther. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week is the last half hour of the program. You can listen to those soundbites at our website, issuesetc.org, and you can vote in advance. There's information on how to do that. Give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. A tweet at IssuesETC, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Facebook.com/IssuesETC.
You know, I need to thank our listeners. It became a running joke about the headphones that I've been using, and for the first time in probably 2 years, I'm listening to Issues Etc. in stereo, because I said if we made budget again last year for the fourth straight year, thanks to our listeners, that we would... maybe I could break down and buy headphones. Not only was it in mono, but they were duct taped. They've been duct taped. They've been broken for, over 3 years, Craig, would you say? Yeah, like 3 years. So thank you for helping us make budget. It's much nicer listening to Issues Etc. in 2 years instead of one.
It wasn't just it was one ear.
Yes.
So it was stereo minus one channel. Mono would be two ears, the same channel, but...
That's true.
I didn't know you were making that sacrifice. All this time, I should have thought better of you.
I suffer in silence.
I know you do.
I suffer in silence, my friend. I suffer in silence. So thanks to our listeners. Thank you very much. Craig got some new headphones.
Craig still doesn't have a microphone. But that's a decision of the general manager of Lutheran Public Radio. That's above my pay grade. And the general manager, Jeff Schwartz, still refuses to grant Craig his microphone, although he will spend opulently on new headphones. Lavishly, recklessly on new headphones.
Where'd you get these from, Craig? The headphones here.
Guitar Center, right?
No. I searched far and wide, my friends. The headphones we have, they're perfect for what we do. We've tried out several different types of headphones that just don't sound as clear and have the clarity that these do. I found them on Amazon, so they're from... They're from the internet.
And if Craig was buying them, you know that he searched for probably 3 to 6 months online.
Yes.
Until he found that 2-cent deal, 2 cents better than the other price, and held out for it.
He's still holding out. There's some goofy race. I think it has to do with cars called Le Mans. I keep thinking it sounds like some prenatal class or something or other. But it's called Le Mans, and he wants some receipt or some ticket stub.
He wants a ticket, I've heard it about 24 times now. He wants a ticket. He wants a parking pass. When we go off the air at 5 o'clock, he picks up the phone. He starts calling all his eBay buddies, and he says, I noticed you have your ticket. Do you have the parking pass? No, I don't have the parking. Well, and then he hangs up on him. Unless he's got the ticket and the parking pass, he's not going to be spending any money with his eBay buddies.
And this manly man who accuses the two of us of being somewhat effeminate compared to
him,
of
course. We're not effeminate. We're just married.
Well, yes, exactly. What does he want to do with his little parking pass? He wants to put in a collage.
Oh, yeah.
A collage.
He's collaging it.
Oh!
Next, it'll be scrapbooking for Craig.
Scrapbooking. Crochet.
Yeah, we don't know. He might still be crocheting.
I guess we better get off the mindless banter and get some serious email. What do you say?
Yeah, but after this one, there's going to be a little more, so go ahead.
Oh, he's got something more to say. It must have to do with Craig.
I have a confession to make.
Uh-oh, okay.
But after the email.
Okay, let's take an email here. This is Jonathan. He says, I listened to your Family Vocations marriage broadcast with Mary Murby and Gene Edward Veith. It confirmed my decision that leaving the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was a good thing. That broadcast was without a doubt the most blank, whipped thing you guys have aired in a long time. As a Lutheran man, I am tired of battling with girlfriends who have the aspirations of a pawnbroker. American women have way too swelled egos and too many expectations as it is. They are just so in love with themselves. I would point out this verse. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet, for Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. I am sure you guys will do some limp-wristed scripture twisting to explain away the clear meaning of this passage. I am really grieved that I have sent you hundreds of dollars over the years in support. I see the money is now being spent to harangue men to man up. It's women who need to woman up, though. Notice to the girls, audience, quit being sluts and sleeping around. Please remove me from your mailing list, concludes Jonathan. Thanks for the email, Jonathan. First of all, point of business, Craig.
We will remove him from the mailing list, right? All right, he's going to get removed from the mailing list per his request. Okay, here's my confession. I'm sure he's not listening anymore because guys who email us like this very seldom keep listening. You guys have to listen, guys. I'm talking over here. They're doing business in there.
This is a communications 101. Technically, you're supposed to be talking to the listener, okay?
But I have a confession.
Your colleagues.
I have a confession to make. And it's really going to irritate this listener, if he's listening, or any other listeners who agree with him, that this was that we've somehow gone soft on the ladies. Well, first, let me respond to his point about the scripture passage. I completely affirm that scripture passage. It speaks directly to women exercising authority in the church. It says nothing about women teaching on the radio. It says nothing about having a woman guest. So it doesn't apply. If you want to call that a limp-wristed scripture twisting, can't stop you. But it applies, and if you read it in context, it does not apply to women everywhere in society. Because I'm assuming he's saying we shouldn't have had Mary Murby on to teach because that violates Paul's injunction against a woman speaking in church. But, of course, Paul is talking about a woman speaking in church. I mean, maybe that's the reason the listener has trouble with his girlfriends is because he didn't let them talk. I don't know. But here's my confession. I went to a Yanni concert. I mean, if that doesn't convince people that I am an effeminate...
I forgot about
that. ...and completely sold out, blank whipped man, I went to a Yanni concert.
And you liked it.
I won't say I liked it. I was actually having a gallbladder attack during most of it, so I had to step out, but I did go. Now, the tickets were free. They were from a parishioner. It was an amazing display of talent up on the stage, but I think it means that I can no longer qualify as a man in the eyes of many of our listeners. But, you know, because we are about full disclosure, we are about telling the truth, in addition to allowing Mary Murby to speak as a guest on this program, I actually also went to a Yanni concert. So I'll plead guilty on both counts there. Although no scriptures were violated, I will plead guilty on both counts. That's it.
Okay. Let's see. We got some email regarding your interview on bioethics with Dr. Ryan McPherson.
I want to say one more thing about the Yanni concert. It was remarkably similar to just about every contemporary worship service I've ever been to. Except Yanni had a lot more charisma than most of the pastors trying to pull off what Yanni does. That's all I had to say. Go ahead.
Do you recall an article, I won't name the author, mentioning a decade ago in the Issues Etc. journal from a long gone feature called the Producer's Page, where a guy said that a wise man equated contemporary worship as being effeminate?
I remember it. Yes, I remember that.
And here we are.
That was the former producer of Issues Etc.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
So here we are.
Exactly.
We've come full circle, and the learner has become the master, and the master the learner, and I have attended a Yanni concert.
What can we say? Nice analogy, though.
Words came out of my mouth that afternoon that I thought would never come out of my mouth. I went to my teenage
long hair.
No, I went to my teenage son's bedroom door. I opened the door. I said, "It's time to leave. We're going to be late for the Yanni concert." Never. If you would have asked me at any point prior to that if I would ever utter those words, I would have assured you it would never have happened, but it did. So it's another reason to live by the old axiom, never say never.
You know, if I was a great producer, we would have Yanni bump music going into this break. But I just thought of it now, and it's too late.
Yep, that's why you're the former producer of right. Issues Etc. All right, when we come back, more listener email on this Friday afternoon. It's May the 4th. We're coming to you live, 1-877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org. It's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away. You sent me an email that says I love you. By grace I'm saved. Grace, God's favor because of what Christ has done for you. This is precisely the gift that you will receive at Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois. God's grace delivered by the means appointed by our Lord Himself, His word proclaimed and His sacraments rightly administered. Come and receive. Grace, it's not just what we believe, it's who we are. Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Back by popular demand, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, May 27th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.
That's the absurdity of this entire kind of argumentation, where you don't state the fundamental presuppositions you're operating on, because if you did, Everyone would laugh at you.
That he's going to go and lay down his life for the sheep is sort of insane, that the king would sacrifice himself in that way. And yet that, of course, is where his goodness is.
As a Christian parent, I want my children to recognize sin, to repent, to receive forgiveness. And that's something that they're going to have to see me model.
The pastor piously says the Holy Spirit has led us to do this. Well, then if you continue to disagree, then it's as if you are resisting the Holy Spirit.
In the last half hour of Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week, your chance to listen to and pick Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or voting at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Here's a message we just received from the Issues Etc. Android app. Michael in Maryland said, Jeff, might want to remind that listener, Jonathan, that Issues Etc. is not church, so why not have women guests? If it was church, that would be different. Heck, you guys have that tagline about Issues Etc. is not church all the time.
Yeah, we do. And, I mean, that's a distinction that often needs to be made, not only with regard to the guests that we have, but with regard to the fact that would we play the bump music we play in church? No. Because Issues Etc. isn't church. Would we discuss the topics that we have? Some people say, well, Wilkin, you've got that sermon diagnostic that requires Jesus be mentioned, be the subject of the verbs, and that the verbs be the verbs of Scripture. And they've tried to apply it to individual episodes of the show. It's a sermon diagnostic. It's not a radio show diagnostic. There's a whole different thing going on there. And so I think it suffices to say that Issues Etc. isn't church. It's a radio show.
This is an email we just received from Carrie in Minnesota. She says, former producer, I must have missed something here. I think she thinks former producer means I'm going somewhere.
No, you're not leaving, but you are technically the former producer of Issues Etc., as well as the current producer of Issues Etc. I'm just trying to, you know, be as accurate
correct
as possible. You wrote that, the former producer of Issues Etc. wrote that observation about contemporary worship being essentially effeminate.
Yes.
Actually, I should reword that. I'm probably really going to make that our first emailer mad when I do this. Not effeminate, because there's nothing wrong with being feminine if you're a female, but emasculated worship. Yes, there you go.
There you go. All right. Some email regarding your interview on bioethics with Dr. Ryan McPherson, Kyle in Cincinnati. I would like to offer a counter perspective to Dr. McPherson's comments regarding the HPV vaccine and sexual ethics. While I wholeheartedly agree with him that parents should raise up their children to be chaste, I must agree with his conclusion that the HPV vaccine is an invitation to sexual promiscuity. Let us grant for the moment that a young lady was raised to be chaste and remains so until such time as she is married and remains faithful in marriage. The risk to the woman who has been reduced but not averted, should she become the victim of a sexual assault or simply of her spouse's sexual transgressions, she could contract a preventable disease which has been shown to increase a woman's risk for cancer. Is it just and proper for us to put women at risk for fear of the message prevention would send? Thanks for the email, Kyle in Cincinnati.
Well, I don't recall what Dr. McPherson had to say about the HPV vaccine, but I would agree with you. I think that here the context is probably important. The HPV vaccine could be given as a way of saying to a young lady, well, we know you're going to have sex, so we're going to give you this vaccine. We know you're going to have sex before marriage. In that sense, kind of an invitation to do it. But I don't think that's why doctors do it. And I don't think that's why a well-meaning parent would want their daughter to be vaccinated. Not because they're going to have sex anyway, but because one day, within the confines of marriage, they will, God willing. And you do want to prevent it. We vaccinate kids against all sorts of things. I could be wrong on this, but I'm just trying to understand it in the
broadest sense possible here, having not – with absolutely no recollection of what Dr. McPherson said about the vaccine. Is there another one on that subject?
Yes, but I incorrectly read Kyle's email. So you people that listen live, whether on terrestrial radio or on the internet
– you get to hear the real stuff.
Yes. So you're going to learn what happens in post-production. I'm going to reread the second paragraph of Kyle's email. We will insert it so it all makes sense for the podcast listeners, which represents about 95% of our listening audience. So paragraph two of Kyle from Cincinnati's email reads, "While I wholeheartedly agree with Dr. McPherson that parents should raise up their children to be chaste, I must disagree with his conclusion that the HPV vaccine is an invitation to sexual promiscuity." Pick up there, Craig.
All right, good.
There we go.
Our standards. Something has happened here. Our standards have fallen, don't you think? I mean, maybe it was the Yanni concert. We got women guests. You're actually doing second takes live on the air. Something's wrong here. We need to get back on the ball.
This is true.
You know what it is?
What is it?
You know what I think it is?
I think it's Craig's engagement.
I think it is.
Craig's engagement, we've all gone soft.
Craig kept us. He was the only thing keeping us from falling apart. He was the only thing keeping our testosterone levels at proper levels. And he was the only thing keeping the show from just degenerating into what it is today. And then he got engaged. And you know what happens then? Next thing you know, Craig's going to be coming in here and he's going to be coming in here and tell me about the Yanni concert that he went to. It's going to happen.
Speaking of future Craig, Mary in Southern Illinois writes, "Women can't be effeminate. It is soft or delicate to an unmanly degree. From effeminatus, made womanish. It applies only to men, the term effeminate."
I stand corrected. See, but now, sir, we just let a woman correct me. What are we going to do about this? I say we just turn it off now, go home, think about what we've done over the weekend, and come back Monday ready to get it right.
But we have guests.
We've just let a woman listener correct us.
That's true. I don't know. We're getting soft. What's happening to us, Craigie? You got anything for us, Craig?
He's got nothing. I can guarantee you, whatever he's going to say right now won't be old Craig. It won't be old Craig. Old Craig is dead. Go ahead.
I don't know where you two are getting this. I honestly don't. I am the same guy. Look at the conversations we had around this office today. Still for the bounty. I'm totally against handing out letters for academic things, like we talked about today.
He was against academic letters for high school students.
That's right. And just for clarity, I attend these racing events and I buy a poster. And now look, there's nothing more manly than horsepower and racing fuel. So I take my poster home. When I finish the rest of my basement, I'm going to have a nice man cave, if that's the current nomenclature that they're applying to the area where the men stay in the basement these days. I'm going to frame these posters, and I've started. That's the whole point. I take my memorabilia, and I put it with my poster. There's nothing more manly than that. I just want a complete set of these things. So I don't understand why that's a bad thing. I really don't.
Hey, I didn't say it was bad. I never said it was bad. Did we say it was bad?
Look, let me just say this, and then I got to go over because we only got like 2.5 minutes for the break. No worlds colliding over here. Okay, that might have happened to the two of you and to George Costanza, but there's no worlds colliding to this guy.
All right. You heard it, folks. You heard it.
Somehow.
And it's on tape.
Somehow, if you look up the term masculine in Webster's, Merriam's, whatever dictionary.
If you look up effeminate, you're going to see me and you.
Yeah, assembling.
Standing uncomfortably close to one another. If you look up masculine, what are you going to see?
Well, I don't think you're going to see an example, e.g., assembling collages for whatever the collage might be. That's what he's doing. He assembles collages.
But what he
I don't care if it's sports. I don't care. The guy puts collages together.
What he didn't tell you is that The glue he uses to put his closets together is his own blood. That's what he didn't tell
me. Oh, okay. That changes everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we don't have time for how much time we got here? Minute and a half? Oh, man.
Does it matter? Does it really matter at this point?
Probably not.
All right.
Probably not. Can you talk about something? Because we'd have nothing short enough to respond to in a minute.
This is called a complete and utter lack of preparation. Yeah, I'll talk about the new issues, etc. Book of the month. There's no more manly task, by the way, than the task taken up when God calls a man into the office of the ministry. He's calling a man. There are manly tasks, but this one requires true men to do it. And it requires the kind of resolve that they need. But no man is equal to it. No man is equal to that task. It will eventually, serving as a pastor, will eventually, in one form or another, tax him beyond his ability to be taxed emotionally, physically, and spiritually. That's why the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May, Holding Up the Prophet's Hand, is a great resource for you and for your pastor. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House and order Holding Up the Prophet's Hand, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040.
Hi, this is Jonathan calling from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Prayer's our most effective tool to end abortion, and there's a way we can be more effective about the way we use prayer. Vital Signs Ministry has a program called 3 for 5. It's a prayer initiative to stop Planned Parenthood, the nation's most aggressive provider and promoter of abortion. They're asking you to pray for 3 minutes a day for 5 weekdays. The ministry provides a prayer topic, sample prayer, and a coordinating scripture verse for each day. They make it easy for you and I to seek the Lord's face on behalf of the unborn. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. I've got all the information there you'll need. We can move mountains with prayer, so let's save lives with it too. Let's go to the throne together.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Operator, help me please. Get through to my baby. Way overseas. Well, Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email in a few minutes. Issues Etc. blog of the week. In the second hour of the program, let's see. We're going to be talking with Sarah Pulliam Bailey about media coverage of several religion stories. After that, we'll find out the church is remembering Frederick the Wise. He was the 16th century Prince of Saxony. He was an imperial elector, but he was also Martin Luther's patron and protector. I think it's fair to say that if not for Frederick, Luther would not have lived long enough to complete his part of the Reformation. And then in the last half hour of the program, Issues Etc., soundbite of the week, 4 soundbites at our website, issuesetc.org. You can listen and you can vote there in advance, or you can wait and give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Steve is on the line from St. Louis. Hi, Steve.
Hi. First, the most important thing, just want to let you know, I will be down this week at the Republic of Texas enjoying Tex-Mex, barbecue, and Shinerbach.
Really? Good. You know, you don't have to go to Texas to get Shinerbach anymore. It's now nationwide.
Yeah, I know. When they started exporting it, I was very pleased. But there's nothing better than Tex-Mex in Texas. But the reason for my call was I want to comment on the two pieces you ran recently, one on the new translation of the Voice and then the one on God, saying that they hear God's word, and both of them are part of that, you know, where just this continuing Gnostic view of Christianity, and where you guys keep pointing out how we each think we're our own little prophet, and we can each, you know, hear God's voice and translate God's word into what we want it to mean, and how that's just, and you see that, and the result of that goes into what Shane Rosenthal was talking about people wanting to leave evangelicalism, because the fact is that it's pretty much empty.
Steve, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in St. Louis. Well, we did do a program recently on that paraphrase called The Voice, and I think it's very good that you point that out, that what is at work behind paraphrases like that, and they're, sad to say, they're common use by people who ought to know better, pastors and students of Holy Scripture, what is behind it may be this Gnostic view, that somehow we are getting, that God doesn't deal with this in the actual words and material and text of Scripture. He just has ideas to communicate to us, and how those get communicated is really neither here nor there. So you can paraphrase God if you want to, which is quite the opposite of the Reformation view of Holy Scripture, which said, no, it's the words themselves, the words matter. Those words and no other words are the words of God. And so a paraphrase may get the gist across, but God isn't just about getting the gist across, getting the idea across. He's about getting the words themselves across. Very good observation.
Here's an email from a listener out east. I greatly appreciate the segment with Dr. Ryan McPherson on the foundation of Christian bioethics, but was greatly troubled with the note on which the segment concluded. Dr. McPherson presented the case of a teenage girl who, upon becoming pregnant outside of marriage, went to her pastor for private confession and absolution. But following the absolution, according to Dr. McPherson, the pastor addressed the issue from the pulpit, told the congregation of her sin, that she had been absolved, and asked them to reconcile with her over her sin. Though I'm sure the intentions behind these actions were laudable, I find it troubling that the pastor was not only willing to violate her confidentiality, but also to elevate her sin above that of others, as I am assuming that he does not take the same approach to all other sins which are confessed to him. Having been an unwed pregnant woman in church, I know firsthand of the grace, mercy, and gentleness some Christians exhibit in the face of such an obvious and public sin. Yet I also know of the harmful gossip, judgment, and backbiting which can result. I would suggest this pastor's action could only serve to make the situation worse, as it confirms the presumption that her sexual sin is worse than the gossip which may follow in its wake. It also has the devastating effect of teaching other girls in a similar situation that if they should fall in such a way, they too will be branded before the entire congregation, thus must do everything possible to protect their reputation, which may become another basis from which she may justify an abortion. This is not to posit that sexual sin should be ignored, but rather that a repentant woman in such a crisis pregnancy should be treated with dignity, respect, and merciful care.
Well, I understood Dr. McPherson's story in a completely different light. I understood it that he did not violate. If the pastor violated the seal of the confession, he should be defrocked, period. He vows never to do it, and if he does it once, he renders himself unfit, period. I heard it in a completely different light. I heard it that in consultation with this woman, I don't know if it was private confession and absolution, I don't recall, but that in consultation with this woman, they both understood it best because, you know, pregnant women have a way of kind of being obviously pregnant eventually. Some things cannot be hidden away. So I think I understood it that the pastor and the woman together decided that the best thing to do was to bring it before the congregation. Not to break the seal of the confession, but to bring it before the congregation and say, this is what has happened. She has been absolved. You must at the same time treat her as completely forgiven. And in order for her to gain the help and the compassion of the congregation there. So it all hinges, in my mind, on whether or not the seal of the confession was broken. I did not hear the story that way. I mean, it would be a horrendous story if the pastor broke the seal of the confession. That would be a greater problem for the whole congregation than anything that may have happened with this woman. Now, whether or not it was and that's how I understood the story. Was that a good idea? Well, the way that Dr. McPherson told the story, it turned out to be an excellent idea. There's going to be gossip. There's going to be backbiting in that situation, whether we want it there or not, whether we encourage it or not. And the way I understood the story that he told was the pastor was essentially heading it off at the pass and saying, we're not going to have any of this. I mean, if I were in that situation and that's what, in consultation with the woman, we determined to be the best thing, I would just come out and say it. We are not going to have any gossip about this. We are not going to have you people talking behind her back. She's been absolved. You are forbidden by that absolution to hold that sin against her. God's word forbids you to hold this sin against her. And if you do, then you'll deal with me as her pastor. I think that's what he was trying to do.
Robert writes, I understand that in C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in his day, it was considered sinful to buy insurance as it wasn't trusting God enough. Today, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod owns an insurance company. What's changed?
First of all, I don't think the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod owns an insurance company. I think technically the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod self-insures its employees. And I think there's a difference there. What has changed? Nothing has changed. The old Lutherans were overly cautious about insurance. And their conscience, it was an issue of conscience. Their consciences said to purchase insurance is not to trust God. They probably would have said the same thing about buying stock. They might have said the same thing about putting money in your 401k, had there been such things in those days, which there weren't. And their conscience said, is it an act of faith in God to entrust your financial well-being to an insurance company? And their conscience said at the time, no. Where did they err? They erred in making it a matter of conscience for everyone. If an individual believes it violates their conscience and is wrong for them, is an act of unbelief in God to purchase insurance, and that's how they are convicted, then, now, you might try to change their mind, but for them, as St. Paul says, for them it is wrong. It is a sin. Don't do it. Don't violate your conscience. But don't turn around and say that what violates my conscience must violate everyone's conscience without a clear word of God. And this is where the old Lutherans were simply operating, as they often did in the past, without a clear word of God. Whenever anybody, Lutherans or otherwise, operate without a clear word of God, they end up saying stupid things. Now, is it necessarily a good thing that we are now somehow, I guess you could somehow say we're in the insurance business. I mean, I'm a little more comfortable with self-insuring our employees, but to be in the insurance business, the church has no business doing that. There are perfectly good insurance companies out there who can service those needs. Now, it might be cheaper to do it ourselves. Then you could make an argument from being good stewards. Without a clear word of God, we're in no position either to forbid insurance or to say, well, anyone can have insurance. It's a matter, like so many things, of good old-fashioned Christian freedom. What do we got next there?
Michael says, can you explain to me the Lutheran's point of view on the multiple levels of glory of heaven? My pastor recently briefly brought it up by saying that grace alone we receive salvation, but our works will add to our glory while in heaven. What are some good passages in the Bible to support this theologically? Thanks for the email, Michael.
Well, there are no good passages in the Bible to support that position. There are degrees of glory in heaven. We don't know what that means because the apostle doesn't take any time to explain it. Just he says, as there are degrees of brilliance in the various heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, and the stars, so are there degrees of glory in the resurrection. What that means, we do not know. But nothing that we receive in eternal life is a reward for our works. I'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining The Issues, etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Going through listener email in just a few minutes. Issues Etc. blog of the week on this Friday afternoon, May the 4th. One more thought on the issue of degrees of glory. It goes with heavenly rewards. This is how I think we must understand. He asked for the Lutheran view. If anybody would like to kind of get a brief summary of the Lutheran view in terms of what the Lutheran confessions have to say about heavenly rewards or degrees of glory, I've got something I can send you called, I think it's called something like the Lutheran confessions on heavenly rewards or something. And it's a compendium of what the confessions have to say about that. And I dealt with this extensively years ago when I was responding to Rick Warren's book, what was the name of the book? The Purpose-Driven Life, where it's basically, he basically articulated what the pastor referenced in the email said. Well, faith will get you into heaven, but if you want the good stuff of heaven, you got to do your works and earn your rewards with your works, which is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that what God rewards is faith. That's it. He rewards faith in Christ, and that faith is itself worked and given as a gift by God himself to you. You say, well, what about those passages that make it sound like our works earn rewards in heaven? The answer is, it depends on what you mean by works worthy of reward. God does not reward works. He rewards faith. And saving faith results in good works. Does that mean God rewards the good works? No, he rewards the faith. Not the works. The faith results in works. And here's my proof that what God rewards is faith. Works done apart from faith do not please God. They are sin. They are not considered worthy of God's reward, but of God's wrath. The same work done in faith, faith is rewarded. The same work done apart from faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The same work, no reward, God's wrath. So what is it that God rewards in eternal life? Faith. And you deserve no credit for that because, as I said before, or as Paul says, even this is a gift. It's not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast, here or in eternal life.
Jennifer in Altoona, Minnesota writes this in regards to a recent pastor's roundtable on John 16, verses 16 through 22. She says, the disciples wonder what Jesus means when he says, I am going to the Father. So do I, because Jesus also said, I and the Father are one. If he is one with the Father, how can he go to the Father? Thanks for the excellent email, Jennifer in Minnesota.
That's a very good question. Well, he is the eternally begotten second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. And as the second person of the Trinity, as the Son of God, he and the Father are one. The second person of the Trinity took into his divine nature, up into his divine nature, a perfect human nature in his incarnation. When Jesus was sent to save us, does that mean he somehow left the Father's presence? No. He never leaves the Father's presence. So he and the Father are always one. And now, even according to his incarnation, even according to his perfect human nature, being one Christ, he and the Father are one as well. Not only according to his divine nature, but according to his human nature as well. He and the Father are one. That doesn't mean that the Father has a human nature. The Son has a human nature. But he and the Father are fully, completely, in every respect that they can be, one. Even when he is standing there from the disciples' perspective, far off from heaven, he and the Father are still one. This is why we rightly understand the incarnation and the ascension, not as Jesus leaving heaven to be on earth, but as Scripture speaks of it, the second person of the Trinity assuming into that nature a second nature, a divine nature. I mean, a human nature, a perfect human nature, that he might dwell among us here, that he might give his life for us on the cross, rise from the dead, and return to his Father, whom he never left. You're really asking a question that touches upon the mysterious nature of both the Trinity and the Incarnation. A very good question.
John in Highlands Ranch, Colorado, he said, I just finished listening to the lesson regarding Jesus and Zacchaeus with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. I just wanted to share that as a 40-year-old man that only months ago began my earnest quest to learn more about Jesus and increase my faith and understanding through God's Word, these Sunday school lessons are quite valuable to me. I imagine that there are many other adult children, such as myself out there, that either miss these lessons altogether or through a disinterested presence as a child. The education provided to me by my pastor upon joining my church only ignited the spark that has led to a rest of life quest and journey for God's truth. Having the fundamental and simple elements explained in detail has really strengthened my faith and improved my understanding, not to mention the fact that they are great training as my four-month-old son grows up and begins to learn about Jesus through these scriptures. Keep up the amazing work. God bless, writes John in Highlands Ranch, Colorado.
And that's always been our mindset here at Issues, Etc., that we kind of follow the Luther in his preface to the either the Large or the Small Catechism, I can't remember which, where he says, look, I'm just going to remain a perpetual student of the Catechism, of the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, absolution, the Lord's Supper. I'm just going to remain a student of these things. And the phrase that always stuck out to me in that preface, and it is to the Large Catechism, Luther says, and I paraphrase him, how can... I once did a multi-part radio feature on this. How can I ever stop learning what God isn't finished teaching? And if God is pleased to continue to teach these things, then we all, like children, continue to learn these things. And we can never exhaust what God is teaching. When God's done teaching the basics of the Christian faith, then we can stop learning them. But until then, we remain as children. And for all the in-depth interviews and everything that we do here in the issues, the broadest swath of issues that we deal with, and the big stable of guests, it still comes back to that. Like children, we remain students of the Catechism.
Quick email from Kenneth in Loveland, Ohio. He says, thank you for everything. Thank you, and thank you again for the 50 days of sacred music on Lutheran Public Radio. I am doing everything I can to further the cause at my congregation. God is blessing so many through Issues, Etc., and Lutheran Public Radio. Thank you for listening, Kenneth.
And you can listen to Lutheran Public Radio, lutheranpublicradio.org. It's sacred music for the world all through the Easter season, the 50 days of Easter, lutheranpublicradio.org.